Well, today we're going to be looking at Romans 11:29. You know, it's good to look out here and see such a group of gifted people. Now, you think I'm probably just trying to get you to warm up to me, right? Actually, what I'm saying is biblical. You know, every Christian has a gift, has a spiritual gift, and there's something special about the gifts that God gives. And that's Romans 11:29. The gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. Irrevocable. So you know what that means? God is not going to withdraw what he has given, nor does he change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call. God decides who gets which spiritual gift. And so Romans chapter 11, verse 29 is part of a chapter where Paul is talking about the nation of Israel. You know, God is not done with the nation of Israel. And there's day is going to come when all of Israel is going to be saved. So the church hasn't superseded Israel, but we are children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. John MacArthur has a note here. He says, God's sovereign election of Israel, like that of individual believers, is unconditional and unchangeable because it is rooted in his immutable nature and expressed in his unilateral, eternal Abrahamic covenant. Like Jesus said, you haven't chosen me, I have chosen you. And he has a plan and purpose for our lives, for good and evil. Okay, we're going to have the slides here in just a minute, but you might wonder how these messages come about. You know, is this just my favorite verse and I couldn't wait to preach to you about it? No, actually, it came to me about 4 a.m. Tuesday. And it was really based on a discussion that I had had, of all places, at a garage sale. So Martha and I were out garage sailing, looking to find all those bargains, all those great things we simply can't face life without. You know, you've been to garage sales, you know what's out there. And so I ran into some precious Christian friends of mine, Freddie and Delton Cummings. Now, Freddie is short for Frederica, and she is a fantastic singer and guitar player. And her husband, Delton, is a singer also. They're over at the Church of the Nazarene. They've been blessing the church through the music for many years. And so I said, well, hi, Freddie, how you doing? And she says, well, I really like that article that you wrote for the Empire about how being slow to anger, you know. And I said, well, thank you. You know, I appreciate that. And, you know, I really love your music. You know, Freddie, you sing wonderfully. You play the music, the guitar so well. And Delton sings and you guys are great. And so Delton summed it up really well. He says, well, we all have our gifts. We just need to use them to glorify God. A simple but powerful statement that really sums up today's message. And so notice that when I complimented them on their musical gifts, they didn't say, oh, I'm not that good. You know, they didn't have any false humility. They didn't try to, yeah, you know, I am really good. And in fact, you know, we're going to cut a CD here pretty soon. You know, you didn't get that from them. They're just, well, thank you. Glory be to God. He's the one that gave us the gifts. We have to be stewards of these gifts. We have to do our best. You know, we don't begin fully formed. You know, when you're first saved, you get that gift. God gives it to you. He chooses which gifts you get. And then it's up to you to be the good steward, to develop them, to use them. And what's the purpose? To glorify Jesus, to edify the church, and to glorify Jesus. And we have our PowerPoint. Thank you. Say, so the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable for Israel and for the individual believer. Now, a spiritual gift is a special ability given by God to every believer to edify the church and to glorify Jesus. Irrevocable means not able to be changed, reversed, or recovered. It's final. God is not going to take back his special gift or gifts that he gives you. And notice the callings, the word in Greek, klesis, for callings. A calling, an invitation, a summons, a vocation. What an array of meanings, you know, a calling. We like to quote Romans 8:28, for all things work together for good to them who are the called, to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. And so who is the church? The church is ecclesia. The church is the called out ones. He's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And he's given us hope, and he's given us a plan and a purpose for our lives. And so he has this calling, this general call that goes out, and a specific call to those who respond in faith. And it's an invitation. I mean, you've received invitations to birthday parties and weddings and all that. And so you get ready for that, and you go get a gift and all that. Well, this is a little different because God has already given you the gift. You already have the gift. And now you're called. In fact, you're summoned. You think of a summons. Now, if a court issues a summons for you to appear, you don't really have to appear, but I hope you're not planning on going anywhere for a while, because they're going to call you in and take you into jail if you ignore that summons. And we lose out if we don't respond to God's summons. If we don't use the gift that he's given us, the church is robbed and we are robbed. And it's a vocation. You think about that, a career. I mean, did you ever go, if you've been a nominating committee, and did you ever go to somebody, Carrie, and say, well, we want you to consider being a Sunday school teacher for the next 32 years? Probably not, right? You're looking for somebody for 1 year, and that's a big commitment for a lot of people. A whole year? Okay, well, I'll pray about that, and if God leads me, I will do it. But it can turn into a vocation. And so we're going to be talking about the four E's when it comes to spiritual gifts, how to discover and use your spiritual gifts. The first E is educate. Educate yourself about spiritual gifts. And where do we learn that from? Mainly from Scripture. Talk to mature Christians, read good commentaries, and find out, what does the Bible say about spiritual gifts? We know that there's three main passages that talk about spiritual gifts and spiritual callings. We'll take a look at those from Romans, from 1 Corinthians, from Ephesians. And then examine yourself. If you're wondering, well, what is my spiritual gift? What are my spiritual gifts? Well, what do you pray about? That's a good question to ask yourself. What do you pray about? What is it that God burdens your heart about? Are you concerned? When you hear someone in the church is having a hard time, do you want to be the first one to call them on the phone? Do you want to be the one to bring food over there? Do you want to tactfully bring back their prayer request to the church on Wednesday night and lead in that? Maybe you've got the gift of mercy, if that's God's burden in your heart. Do you love to share the good news? You know, Chloe's out there sharing the good news right now, going on university campuses all over. I think New Orleans was the last picture that I saw. You know, that's where the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary is. Not sure if they're going there exactly, but they're going to share the gospel. And it's clear that Chloe has the gift of evangelism. She loves to share the good news. And so what's on your heart? What do you pray about? And then when you do serve God, what gives you peace, joy, fulfillment, and contentment? Now, that doesn't mean that it's going to be completely smooth from the very beginning and you're never going to have a problem. I've taught Sunday school for a while. I've had people get mad in my class. I've had people walk out of my class. There has been times where I didn't say things exactly right. And so God uses us in spite of ourselves. It's okay to make a mistake. And don't be afraid to fail. So explore. The third E is explore your options to serve in the church and, I might add, outside the church. Some people are fantastic with posting Christian messages on Facebook. And that reaches a lot of people. All your friends are seeing that. Hey, here's my testimony for today. Here is a scripture that I want to share. And that is a way of evangelizing. That's a way of teaching. That's a way of encouraging other Christians, edifying the church, even though you're not in the building. Don't be afraid to fail. You know, when I first came here, I was asked to be on the usher committee. And so there I was, newly elected usher. And we had a pastor who was from the South, and he's fairly new to Juneau. And so he had little name tags made up for all of us. Mine is a little red one. It said Guy right here. And I was supposed to wear that little name tag every day. And so then he gave us each an umbrella because it rains here all the time. And he says, well, when somebody pulls into the parking lot, just run out there in the parking lot and hold that umbrella over their head and, you know, walk them up to the church steps and talk to them. Well, there I was, a dutiful, you know, 28-year-old, just recommitted my life to Christ, was on fire. And so this crusty old fisherman comes out of his pickup truck and starts walking towards the church, and I go running out there. I'm putting an umbrella over his head. Welcome to church, sir. All that. And he's looking at me like, where are you from? It rains here all the time. I don't need an umbrella over my head. Well, I didn't know. And so I got wisdom later on that. They said, you know, save the umbrella for the little old ladies. You know, maybe for the kids, but you know, the old guys, you really don't need to have the umbrella over their heads. So I wasn't an usher very long, but it was a learning experience. And I didn't have the joy and passion for it that some other people did. Now, some of you have been around for a while. You remember Brother Duane Hafner. Quite a story. He didn't even get saved till he was almost about 60 years old. His wife had been praying for him for 30 years. That's a whole nother story. But he loved to sit right out there, greet people, shake their hand, give them a hug, hand them a bulletin, welcome them to church. He was also a minister of maintenance for many years. He could work circles around people who were half his age. And I know that because I was about half his age, and he typically would work circles all around me. But he loved it. It gave him such joy that even when he was in his upper 80s, he needed an oxygen tank to drag around with him everywhere. And he dragged his oxygen tank to church right over there to his assigned station, and he greeted people and he handed out bulletins as long as he could until finally he ended up in the Pioneers Home in Sitka and passed away there. But he kept serving the rest of his life. It turned out to be that vocation for him. It was a calling. It was an invitation. It was a summons. And he answered it. And God blessed it. And he edified the church. It was always great. You know, you'd shake hands sometimes. I first come, I'd kind of give him some little weak handshake and kind of look down, and he'd say, "Give me a strong handshake and look in my eyes." And so he taught me to be more bold. Just, okay, I'll look him right in the face. And, "Well, good to see you, Brother Duane." "Well, good, that's better," he'd say. Another thing about him, he didn't like facial hair. You know, he's from that generation. And so when my wife Martha had cancer, she had stage 4 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And I said, "I'm going to let my beard grow until she's in remission." And so this beard was like down to here. You could lose a can of Red Bull in it. And so Brother Duane, I know his eyesight was going, but I know he didn't like it. And so Martha got put into a remission. You know, praise God, hallelujah, I shaved and I came to church. Brother Duane looked at me and he says, "You shaved!" And he just gave me a big bear hug right there. That really ministered to him. I was clean shaven. He liked that. But, you know, the gifts build up the church. Now, there's another testimony of a family, Kurt and Renee Cox. They came here and they visited the church, and we had a fellowship downstairs. And when that fellowship was over, people just started cleaning up. Well, Renee said later, she was amazed by that. She says, "Well, nobody was in charge. Nobody was, you know, giving any direction or telling people what to do." He said, "The meal was over and people just stood up and started rearranging the tables and cleaning them off, picking up the garbage. A couple of people went and got vacuum cleaners, and they're cleaning up this place, and they're watching this going, wow, this is the way the church is supposed to work." And the church is a living organism. We are all living stones being built up to make spiritual sacrifices in Jesus Christ. And so exercise your gift. That's the fourth E. Develop them over time. It takes time. There's going to be tough days. There's going to be mistakes. But you know what? Keep on keeping on. It doesn't mean you have to keep doing the same thing forever and ever, or else I'd still be your usher. I'd still be doing that. But I would do that if they asked me to do it. And see, that's the other thing, is you got to make yourself available. Say, "Lord, lead me and guide me. I'm willing to do whatever." If you ever work for the state or any other group like that, they have your whole job description, you know, your PD, your position description. It says all the things you're supposed to do. And at the very bottom, it'll say other duties as assigned. Because you need to be available. You need to be teachable. And God will give you other duties as assigned. And so here's the first passage talking about the spiritual gifts, making a couple of points. The Holy Spirit chooses and distributes the spiritual gift or gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. And so you'll note in verse 7, it says that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one, to each believer, to every member of the body of Christ. There is given at least one gift. And down in verse 11, you see it's the Holy Spirit of God that distributes to each one of us individually as He wills. And so we don't decide which gifts we get. God decides. Does God make mistakes? Not the God I serve. He does never makes mistakes. And so He has a plan and a purpose. And so there are different types of gifts, diversities of gifts. Not everybody has the same gift. Some people are gifted to provide hospitality. There was a group, a couple in this church years ago, Roy and Kathy Mask. They were wonderful at providing hospitality. And if you went over to their house for dinner and the phone rang, Roy or Kathy would politely answer the phone and say, "Oh, well, it's good to hear from you. Right now we're entertaining some guests, and so I'd like to call you back tomorrow if that's okay." The other person would say, "Okay," and then he'd hang up, and then, because his full attention was on you. If you were over there at their house, he wasn't the guy who's going to pull out his cell phone. Of course, he didn't have cell phones in those days, but he wouldn't have a 20-minute conversation with somebody else on the phone when you were sitting right there. Hospitality, great food, great conversation, focus on you. Gifted, diversities of gifts. You've got people that some are pastors, some are teachers, some are servants. There's so many different helps. We'll talk about those different offices and ministries. We don't get hard and fast, exhaustive definitions of what all these gifts entail, and they do overlap in some areas. But the other thing is you don't need to worry about, well, let's see, which gift am I operating in at this very moment? If I go and give food to someone who is sick, is that hospitality or is that mercy? Which one is it? Well, it's kind of both. You're doing both. And so the thing is to be available, go as God leads and guides. He may enable you, equip you for a short-term ministry. Some people say, "Well, I'm not called to go on the mission field full time," but you know, there's a lot of short-term ministry opportunities. I think of, you know, the youth making the trip up several trips up to Haines to go and work on the church up there. They went down to Ono, Washington, or Oso down there, and helped the folks down there. They went up to World Changers up in Palmer, and so they were short-term missionary journeys. Now, of course, Chloe ended up on their mission field full time, working with youth with a mission. So you never know where following your gift will lead. And so number 5 is important either. Every Christian should use and develop their own gifts rather than covet someone else's. Why, I sure wish I could sing like so-and-so. I wish I could play that guitar like somebody, you know, who plays it really well. I wish I could be the pastor. I wish I could be the teacher. Well, what's wrong with that? You're ignoring the gift that God has given you. Right? And you're coveting a gift that God chose to give someone else. So if you're waiting for me to lead music, you may be disappointed. That's not going to happen anytime soon, unless it's a very small group. So to develop our own gifts and not covet someone else's, but encourage that other person as they use their gift. Thank you for playing the guitar this morning, Ella. I don't see her here now, but you can say thank you. She was playing the guitar. You know, Cecile comes over here. Clive played for us one time. It's so great to see the music ministry has just expanded here. It's been so wonderful to see everybody up here singing and playing instruments. And that edifies the church. That helps us worship. And what a gift. What a wonderful thing. And so we have 9 different spiritual gifts mentioned in this passage here. The word of wisdom. And that's not about not drinking coffee. That's not. Okay, word of wisdom. Is some people are supernaturally gifted to just speak wisdom into your life in practical situations. How do I deal with this challenge? How do I deal with this heartache? How do I deal with this difficulty I'm having either in my body or at work? And then God will enable. I think Brother Jimmy had this gift in a great, in a great concentration because he always had wisdom. He would just tell you, you need to follow what God tells you to do. Here's some of the things that the Bible says about that. Can we pray together about this? And he just had that practical wisdom. And then there's the word of knowledge. That's someone who can probably tell you where all the verses are in the Bible. I've been accused of having this gift. Word of knowledge, they just know, well, okay, well, here's a scripture you might consider to help you go through that thing. Failing that, and of course, there is always BibleGateway.com where you can search these things out, or there is a Strong's Exhaustive Concordance if you like books. But there's a word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and there's faith. Some people just have faith that can move mountains. Some people will step out in faith. And I think Chloe going to university campuses now where they teach anything but biblical Christianity, and they're pretty hostile to it from what I understand, yet she's out there smiling, sharing the gospel, you know, sending out the lifeline. She's got that faith in the gift of evangelism too, and then gifts of healings. Now, God does the healing, okay? See, I always say I don't believe in faith healers, but I believe in faith healing, and God can heal. God will heal. Prayer of a righteous man can work a lot of miracles if God chooses to move. A man or woman that prays in faith, God can heal. And you can think of people that have been healed. You know, Connor Corcoran, member of this church, when he was a little boy, had a tumor, the size of a grapefruit in his stomach. It didn't look like he was going to survive, but you know, God healed him. He was baptized in this church, has done great work in this church over the years. Gifts of healings, working of miracles. Well, every time a sinner is saved, it's a miracle. But of course, they're talking about making the blind to see and the lame to walk. And there was a lot of that when Jesus was walking the earth. Now, after that, I don't know. God is sovereign. He can heal. He can do miracles. And so I just leave that up to him. Prophecy. And so prophecy, you think, oh, well, that's talking about foretelling the future, right? Like the prophet Isaiah or the prophet Jeremiah. Well, you know, there's more to prophecy than just foretelling the future. There's foretelling the word of God. Boldly proclaiming the word of God is a part of prophecy. And we'll see from one of the other slides, a prophet has hindsight, insight, and foresight. So the prophet, and even you see this in the Old Testament when they say, okay, here's why we are here, where we're at, because of what's happened in the past. And here's some lessons from the past. And then insight. Here's what's going on right now. Here's what God would lead us to do. And then foresight. Here's what's going to happen if we follow God's way or if we don't. Prophets. And then there's discerning of spirits. You know, try the spirits whether they are of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord is of God. 1 John chapter 4. And then there's different kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues. And the temptation is to talk about tongues for about 20 minutes because that some people make a whole religion out of tongues. And they make it sound like, well, if you don't speak in tongues, you know, you're just kind of a second class Christian. And if you just tarry on the Holy Spirit and you just pray and please God give me the gift of tongues, and you know, then you're going to get it. And you can even start by talking nonsense and maybe the Holy Spirit will jump in and then he'll fill in the blanks for you and then you'll be speaking in tongues. Well, is that what we saw in the Bible? It's not. Go to Acts chapter 2. What happened? There were people who were given a supernatural ability to share the gospel in a language they did not know. That's what happens in Acts chapter 2. It wasn't for a show. It wasn't to gain some kind of spiritual power. Some say, oh, well, I pray in tongues. I was listening to TBN one time, and there was this guy, Frederick K.C. Price, on there. He's got a show called Ever Increasing Faith. I think he's turned it over to his son by now. But somebody had written the letter and criticized him. And he said, he took offense to that. He said, well, I pray in English for half an hour every morning and a half an hour in tongues every morning. So don't criticize me unless you're on my spiritual level. Which that's wrong a whole lot of different ways. First of all, is pride. You know, we should be willing to take criticism. Say, well, okay. And sometimes an exhorter, someone has a gift of exhortation, will challenge us or even rebuke us and say, hey, brother, I need to talk to you about something. You need to straighten this out in your life. You're hurting the church. You're hurting your testimony. Here's how you can improve that situation. And so false belief that praying in tongues somehow imparts supernatural power. The Bible nowhere teaches that, but some read it into Scripture. And so you've got to watch out for this. And there's more about tongues in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Paul was addressing a situation best described as charismatic chaos, where people were intoxicated about the gifts rather than focusing on the giver. And the purpose of the gift. The purpose of the gift is not to make a show. The purpose of the gift is to edify the church and to glorify Jesus. And so if there's no interpreter, what is the point of a message in tongues? And Paul later said in 1 Corinthians 14:18, he says, "I thank my God I speak with tongues more than y'all," which proves that Paul was from the south, of course, since he said y'all. But he says, "Yet in the church I would rather speak five words with understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue." So it wasn't about the gift of tongues. It was about decency and order in the church and giving a clear message. He talks about a trumpet when it's time to go into battle. There's a different tone for charge or retreat. So it's a pretty big deal as to which message you're getting. And so we need a clear message in the church. And I thank God for Pastor Eugene, because I think he's given us very clear messages in this church. Remember when he first came, what did he preach about? King Jesus. Let's look in the Psalms. These are the prophecies of the coming Messiah. And this is King Jesus. And here's the fulfillment in the New Testament. Very good stuff. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, later in this chapter, last couple of verses, 29 through 31. Paul asks these questions, and these questions all anticipate a negative answer. Are all apostles? No. Not everybody's an apostle. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And then Paul goes right into 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. It says, no matter what I do, if I give away all my money, I give my body to be burned. If I don't have love, I'm nothing. And so love was something that the church in Corinth was missing out on. And so Paul was trying to pull them back into line on that. And so we have these different offices. And this is under the heading of the Holy Spirit chooses and distributes the spiritual gifts and the offices. So, and God appointed these in the church, the first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, the gift of healing, helps, administrations, and varieties of tongues. And so the apostles, those were the founders of the early church. They had to be witnesses of the risen Christ. And so I would be of the school of thought that there's no apostles out there in the world today. There are plenty of people who claim to be apostles, but the apostles were the founders of the early church. And then we have the prophets. They foretell and sometimes foretell God's work, and they've got that hindsight, insight, and foresight. And then teachers, those who labor in word and doctrine with or without a pastoral office. And we'll look at Ephesians 4:11, where it talks about pastors and teachers, and that's always been the discussion. Is there a comma there? Is there an Oxford comma that says pastors, comma, and teachers? Because in the original Greek, there is no punctuation marks. And so they say, well, there was one article, and so it's talking about one office. But then again, it is a plural article, so maybe he's talking about two offices. Well, that's been a point of discussion for a few centuries, and so I probably can't solve it here for you in the next couple of minutes. But teaching the Word of God can be done inside or outside the church, with or without a pastoral office. And then there's helps. Compassion and ministry toward the sick, weak, and the helpless. Gift of mercy, gift of helps. And so Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8, has some information for us about spiritual gifts. And it says, "For I say, through the grace of God given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having been gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortations, he who gives with liberality, and he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And many times that's another great indicator of your spiritual gift is what gives you joy. If you can show mercy with cheerfulness and that gives you joy and contentment and peace and satisfaction, that's what God is calling you to do. And there's not a script written for that. It's dependent on the specific situation and following God's leading. And so it's good to look at the first couple of verses there, not to think more highly of ourselves than we should. But wait, I'm an apostle, or I'm a pastor, or I'm a prophet. Well, I'm a teacher. Isn't that the top level of the church? I mean, you know, these are the real important gifts, right? No, all the gifts have equal value. You know, the hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. The toe can't say to the head, I don't need you. The church is one living organism. All gifts are important and equal in value, and God will use them in different ways. And sometimes the gifts that are front and center under the white hot spotlight, like I'm standing here right now, is not as important as somebody who has mercy or compassion. See, you've heard lots of preachers. Sometimes they can have a fantastic sermon and you leave the church going, man, that was so good. I learned so much from that. And then you get asked about it a month later. What did he say? Well, it was good. Well, there was a couple of good things in there. I'll get back to you on that. But if some Christian came and ministered to you when you were going through a hard time, when you had lost a loved one, you had to go through a divorce, you've had some kind of difficulty physically, maybe they came and saw you in the hospital, you know what? You're going to remember that. You're going to remember that. And so that gift can be more important in a person's life than even teaching or preaching. So it's all valuable. It all builds up the body of Christ. And if we work together, iron sharpens iron. We strengthen one another. So everybody's got a different job. Everybody's got a different role. But we need everything. I mean, we need the music. We need to have Pastor Eugene here preaching. We need JK downstairs teaching. We need people cleaning up the church that are doing a great job. We need people doing the music. We need somebody running the vacation Bible school. We need somebody to do the administrative stuff, to take the minutes at the business meetings. You need somebody to send letters to the church, which we just got the letter from the church in Louisiana for Sister Wilma. She's transferred her membership there. And so I'm going to have to write up that letter and send that and say we reluctantly, you know, agree to transfer her membership. We love Wilma. She was fantastic. She's going to be a benefit to your church, which I'm sure they've already figured that out by now, but we're going to mark it down that way anyway. And so spiritual gifts, let us, having been gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. In prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. In ministry, let us use in our ministering and teaching and exhortation and giving and leading with diligence and showing mercy with cheerfulness. And so you think about giving with liberality. And of course, this is time, talent, and treasure. It's not just money. But who's the biggest giver in the church? Who are the biggest givers in the church? No idea. That would be the best answer. We don't know who the biggest givers in the church are. It doesn't matter. Now, you saw the hypocrites, the Pharisees, who would blow trumpets in the streets to draw attention to themselves for how much they gave. But if a person has got that gift of giving, they're going to do it. They're going to do it cheerfully, and they're not going to make a lot of noise about it. Now, getting back to Brother Duane, who's already with the Lord, not here to defend himself, there was a time years ago that my daughter Ann needed some surgery. She had a spinal fusion. She had really bad scoliosis. And so we had to travel down to Spokane to the Shriners Hospital where that was going to happen. And we didn't have a lot of money. And so the church gave us a love offering, but that wasn't enough for Brother Duane. He came over and he gave me a hug and he said, God go with you, as you go in there. And he put his hand in my pocket, in my jacket. I kind of wondered what he was doing until I reached down there and realized he put a $100 bill in my pocket. The gift of giving. He didn't stand up and say, hey, I want to add $100 to this love offering for the Crockrofts. No, he just came and put it in my pocket. That's the gift of giving, with liberality, with joy. And he who leads with diligence, I think about Pastor Eugene, diligently leading the church. You know, he spends a lot of time here in the building. He spends a lot of time studying and praying and working around the grounds and in the office. And he's still able to visit people. You know, he's almost like that perfect pastor, right? You read that thing about the perfect pastor? You know, he always goes out and visits people, but then again, he's always in his office when you need him. So on and so forth. He doesn't preach too short. He doesn't preach too long. He's got decades of experience, yet he's still young enough to go out with a youth group. You know, all that perfect pastor stuff. But Pastor Eugene leads with diligence. And so what a wonderful gift to this church. What a way to build up the church. Well, and here's a little bit more about those offices, Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. And he himself gave some to be apostles. In other words, it's not a self-anointed, self-appointed apostle. God chose who the apostles were going to be. And you know, when Matthias replaced Judas, there would have been over 500 candidates. You know, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there was over 500 people that saw the risen Christ. So any one of them hypothetically could have been considered for this apostleship. But God chose Matthias. And so he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, whether there's a comma there after pastors or not, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. That's the purpose of all the spiritual gifts, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the building up of individual Christians, which thereby builds up the church, because the individual Christians make up the church. Till we come through the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so what about these gifts? We all want to be good stewards of these gifts. And this is a reminder, we will give account of how we use our gifts. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Luke 12:48, for everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. In Romans 14:12, so then each of us shall give account of himself to God. And so today I'm preaching, but I don't consider myself a pastor. I don't think I've got that gift, but I'm a Bible teacher. And there's a verse for all Bible teachers on this next page. And it says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Now, when you're on the nominating committee, you probably don't try to inspire teachers that way and say, hey, how'd you like to be a teacher? You'll get a stricter judgment. That's probably not the way you're going to try to encourage someone, but it is the reality. And why is that? Well, because if we're going to teach the Word of God, we have to know the Word of God. And if we know the Word of God, we're accountable for what we know. And so it is a big responsibility. But it's also something that can bring great joy and comfort and fulfillment, knowing that, you know, you never say it exactly right. I don't think I've ever had a sermon or a Sunday school lesson where I think every single word was perfect. Never will. But it's okay. God will use you anyway. And the church is edified. So don't let this scare you off. If you're a teacher or you're praying about being a teacher, don't let that scare you off. Just let that enable you to have that sober mind, to think soberly about yourself. Say, I'm not perfect, but I feel God has given me this gift, and so I need to use the gift. Well, you got the parable of the stewards, the parable of the talents, whatever you want to call it, in Matthew chapter 25. And so you know the story. There were three people who got a certain amount of talents. Picking up in verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave five talents. To another he gave two, to another he gave one, according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the five talents went and traded with them and made another five talents. And likewise, he who had received two gained two more also. But he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Now notice, same exact words to both of those, whether they had 2 talents or 5 talents. And so whether you consider yourself a 2-talent person or a 5-talent person or a 1-talent person or something else, the stewardship requirement is still there. And the reward is still there. But then there's the one that received the 1 talent. And he said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. Take it back. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And so we see the principle there. If God has given you a talent, given you a gift, the invitation, the calling, the summons, the vocation is there. And so don't be afraid to fail. Romans 12:6, once again, let us use them. God has given us a gift, let us use them. Say, wait a minute, Brother Guy, I've been doing that for years and I'm kind of tired. Well, thank you for doing it for years. Here's the verse for you if you're tired. Look at verse 9. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. That is a precious promise. You know, I think of Mike Allison, who was a member of this church years ago. He used to be pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church, our sister church. And he would go to Tanaki Springs, ride the ferry over there and share the gospel. For years, it was just a small group, you know, maybe 6 or 8 people. But Mike kept going. He kept serving. He kept preaching. He kept sharing. He kept taking that time to go over there. And there, God moved. God moved in the hearts of 5 people over there. And so he baptized 5 people in 1 day over there, and the whole town was watching. What a tremendous testimony. And what a payoff for his patience and for his consistency and his persistence. So the whole passage, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So the different types of gifts, every Christian has at least 1 spiritual gift. Your spiritual gift is to edify other people so we can help each other. You don't get to choose which gift you'll receive. Your gift is necessary and essential to the body of Christ. Your gift is not more or less important than other spiritual gifts. And our spiritual gifts should be celebrated and honored, giving thanks to the giver, God himself, who's called us to be his people. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your precious promises. We thank you for the gifts that you've given us. God, at your sovereign choice, thank you for opening doors of opportunity. Lord, that we can share and we can serve and we can do the things that glorify you, however imperfectly we do them. Thank you, God, for giving us grace and mercy and forgiveness and encouragement from others. I just thank you for this time, God, and we just give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.